Dick Lugar's first negative ad, why he's attacking the president. Another indictment of a public official, the leadership battle at the top of the Indiana Democratic Party, and another court ruling goes against Charlie White. That plus the In God We Trust license plate and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending December 23, 2011.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. The path to a successful business has unexpected twists and turns. The legal professionals at Ice Miller are dedicated to guiding businesses along the journey. Experience takes businesses to the top. Ice Miller can help them stay there. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.
This week, Richard Lugar began airing campaign ads on the radio, and they are negative ads. Lugar earned the title of Barack Obama's favorite Republican during the 2008 campaign, and that's a big reason why Richard Murdoch is challenging him in the May GOP primary for U.S. Senate. As a result, Lugar is now attacking Obama. In a new radio ad, Lugar says the president has not acted in the best interest of the United States.
At every turn, I fought President Obama's liberal, budget-busting stimulus schemes. The president's policies have made things worse.
This may not help him politically, but I think Dick Lugar is a gentleman. I think he's a great guy. He and I have worked together on foreign policy issues, but Dick is very conservative. And on domestic issues, we've always had a lot of differences.
And that's the president in a recent Wish TV interview with remarks that seem to support the message in the Lugar ad. Can Lugar separate himself from Barack Obama? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel. Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwanes, the host of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV State House reporter Jim Shella. Ann Delaney, is Barack Obama trying to help Dick Lugar?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know whether he's trying to help him or not. It's interesting. I think if you put Richard Lugar on sodium pentothal, he would reject everything that's in that ad. They have obviously worked together. In fact, he just voted for the extension, the two-month extension of the payroll tax cut. So they've worked together on a number of things. In the 90s, he supported the individual mandate for health care, which is the essence of what the Tea Party objection to the health care passed by President Obama is. So, I mean, I think if you really pushed him, the sad part of this is he has to tack to the right because his party has gone so far to the right that there's no place in it anymore for a statesman. There's no place in it for anybody who has the best interests of the state and the country at heart. It's unfortunate.
There are a lot of folks who are surprised that Dick Lugar is using a negative ad. Now, it's not against his opponent, but can we assume that this will lead to negative ads against his opponent?
Well, there's no way of knowing what the campaign is going to dictate or whether or not you're forced to do what you call negative ads against your opponent. But this is smart to do this and do it now. One, he's got the money to do it. Two, Barack Obama's numbers in Indiana are like 38% approval rating. And this issue, of course, is the number one issue on the minds of voters. So this is not only smart politically, it's good politics, and he's right. I mean, he's voted against every of the stimulus package schemes that Obama had. And Obama's numbers are even lower on how he's handling the economy. So this is a good message, right time to do it, and it's good inoculation as to what's going to come politically.
How did he vote on the Bush bank bailout?
I don't know. Mm. I don't.
I wonder if that's one of the liberal schemes Obama. Yeah.
John, for Tea Party members and others who believe that he's Barack Obama's favorite Republican, does this work?
Well, I suppose it adds ammunition or bolsters an opinion that they have long held or that they have bought into. And it's not going to dissuade them, certainly. This is the reason.
So it doesn't work. Doesn't work.
It works with a group that already was actively supporting Richard Murdoch, his challenger. But does it go more broadly into voters who might be leaning one way or the other? I don't think so. I mean, a lot of these labels, it's not as if this is the first time somebody has tried this kind of approach. You've had pick an election and you'll find somebody being attached to somebody who's perceived to be unpopular in the White House or somebody who's perceived to be unpopular in Congress, whether it's Nancy Pelosi or somebody on the Republican side. Remember, Richard Lugar was once touted as Richard Nixon's favorite mayor years ago, and I don't think it hurt him. He's had a long, successful career after that. But it's...
Are we talking about Lugar or are we talking about Nixon?
Joe Donnelly campaigned against Obama. That's how he won, really.
Well, it's true. Okay, so... Message aside, what does this ad tell you about the Dick Lugar campaign?
It tells me that he takes the threat from Richard Murdoch very seriously, and he should, because the ad prompted the Murdoch campaign last week to send out an immediate flyer soliciting funds, and yesterday they announced to those folks that they had received enough money to produce their own ad and to attack the ad that Senator Lugar had put up. So, you know, this is going to be a very intense campaign. I think the tenor, the tone, the nature of the ad, the timing of the ad, all indicate that the Lugar camp understands that and is going to go after it very seriously because they are caught betwixt and between.
He's worried about it because he has all the value of incumbency and he has all the money in the world and supposedly all the stature in the world, and he is worried this early in the campaign. It tells you the numbers are not looking good.
And he's smart to do this early.
But he's got
as much of this you can.
He has a reputation for being a statesman and
That's
a diplomat.
Right. Sure. Right.
Does he endanger that status?
No? Not at all. I mean, the economy, look at the numbers. The economy, Obama's handling the economy. America is sadly disappointed in what he's done. His numbers are awful. This is smart. This is smart inoculation. And you do this early, one, and plus two, he can sustain it. He's got the money to sustain this forever.
And he needs to, is the problem.
That's right. The timing, though, you can read a couple things into it, maybe, but unless I've had too much eggnog because of the season, and I'm imagining a television spot that the Lugar campaign ran last summer in July with a limited buy in markets, major markets around the state, where he also called into question the president's economic policy, and I think used the word plain wrong. So and that was a television spot. So it's not as if just now, all of a sudden, the campaign.
This is another stretch to say he's not acting in the interest of the United States.
That's right. And the nature of the ad is much different than the one that came this summer.
Sure.
It's on radio. The message is much harsher.
It is harsher.
And it's running on talk radio where conservatives are targeting.
I guess the point I'm making is that the attempt to distance himself from the White House is not right. anything that's just
he's going to do anything he
week.
Can do to save his seat.
Well,
and it
I
doesn't
think
matter
right.
whether
Everybody
it doesn't matter whether he
repudiates
everything he ever stood for before.
True.
That's exactly what he's doing.
Republicans and Democrats will be running against Obama.
Moving on, another member of the Indianapolis City County Council is under indictment this week, accused in a scheme to steal $1.7 million from an Indianapolis physician. Paul Bateman Jr. is charged with using his position in city government and his job as chief corporate officer of the Indianapolis-based Russell Foundation to dupe the physician into investing money. Indictments by a federal grand jury allege that Bateman and two others spent the money living large in a matter of weeks.
Cars and clothing for themselves and their families and friends, rent payments, and even personal tax liabilities. What they didn't spend a penny of the money on was anything that they had promised.
U.S. Attorney Joe Hogsett says Bateman faces 8 counts of wire fraud, 10 counts of money laundering. Mike McDaniel, is the timing of this indictment curious?
In what way?
It came out on the day after Bateman's last council meeting, after he didn't run for re-election.
Look, I don't think that the district attorney is playing games with those kinds of things or anybody else. I don't read all the conspiracies into that stuff. I still believe in you're innocent until you're proven guilty. But I will say this, 99% of the men and women I've met in politics through the years are honorable people just trying to do a job, whether Republican or Democrat. We may differ on how their philosophies play out politically, but anytime something like this happens, it's a reflection on everybody in politics and government. And that's what feeds this perception that, there's something bad about it, there's something wrong about it. That's what I hate about this most. We had to let this thing play out and see where it goes, but it's just another stain on politics and government in Indiana.
And Bateman's a Democrat. This follows the conviction of Lincoln Plowman, who is a Republican on the City County Council. There's a stain.
Oh, there's no question about it. And I think Mike's right. 99% of the people, or maybe even more than 99% of the people, are trying to do the right thing. I don't believe that there's a culture of corruption around the Republican Party just because we've had five Republicans indicted, any more than I think the same with the one Democrat indicted. I just think it's unfortunate, and it's doubly unfortunate when it's the office to which they're elected or chosen or appointed that is the subject of whatever. If it's not a, you know, I'm not saying that drunk driving is okay, but what I'm saying is it's worse right. when it involves the office.
This is something that started with a Marion County grand jury investigation in 2008. Obviously, the county grand jury took a pass on charges, it would seem, or passed it up.
Or they were more suited for a federal indictment. The wire fraud right. and yeah, those okay. things are more federal.
I think we don't know why it got moved into the federal court, but the fact is it's there. And what we've seen over the last year is a much more activist Department of Justice. And I think that's good, because if there is a stain on politics, it's brought on by people who are acting poorly in it, and they need to be caught and removed from the process so that the integrity can be restored and people can have faith, so that the 99%+ of people who are in public service for the purpose of doing good don't get painted with the same bad brush.
And if you look at this foundation, when it was set up and chartered, I think the stated purpose and the mission was to shine a spotlight, and I think I'm quoting directly here, on the spiritual, moral, and ethical fiber of the community. Let's hope.
I think they did.
They
also talked about an ethanol project at one point, and they also were talking about a high-speed rail project from Chicago to Indianapolis, some things that had a real pie-in-the-sky aspect
to
it.
Well, keep in mind, here's a note to any prospective donors, or I should say investors, usually non-for-profits that have a stated desire to do good usually are not great money makers in terms of a return on investment. You kind of give to those for other reasons, and so it's odd.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we conduct an unscientific poll in connection with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. Last week's question was, would you support a tax to improve mass transit? 55% said yes. 31% said passenger fees make more sense. 15% said our current transit system is fine with me. Due to the holidays, we will have a new question next week. If you'd like to take part in the poll, as always, go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. Dan Parker remains on duty as the state Democratic chairman this week after reversing his plans to resign. Parker had planned to step down once a successor was chosen, but he formally withdrew his resignation in a letter to the state committee when it became clear that Joel Miller had the necessary votes to win election to the party's top post. Parker gave just 5 days notice of his plans to step down in a failed attempt to hand the job to Tim Jeffers, the choice of candidate for governor, John Gregg, John Ketzenberger. Describe what's going on at the top of the Democratic Party, if you can.
Well, I don't know that I can, but clearly there is a huge rift in the leadership around the state. It's no secret that Dan Parker and Ed Tracy, who's the chairman of the Marion County Democrat Party, have been at odds for a long time. The Lake County Party is also in the against the Parker regime at this point. And you had an attempt by the titular head of the party, the candidate for governor, to install his candidate. That failed. And so what you end up with is this chaotic situation and a lot of rifts that have to mend, because really if the Democrats are serious about winning the governor's seat next year, they're going to need the organizations in Lake County and Marion County to be operating at fully functional levels. And right now, it looks like it's a difficult thing to do.
We occasionally have people talk about a circular firing squad on this program. This seems to be a good example.
Yeah, I don't think much anything comes out of this. I mean, the perception to people who don't follow these things closely is that you have sort of a party in disarray that has suggested you don't have strong leadership and you have this infighting. And aside from perception, there's a very real issue here that you've got campaigns to run. It takes a lot of grassroots organizing, takes a lot of collaboration and cooperation. And in fact, I think the statement that came out from the party after all this talked about, you know, the biggest thing, this is an indirect quote here, or paraphrasing, but the biggest thing we have going for us is party unity. If that's the biggest thing you have going for you, I'd look for plan B, because there isn't much party unity here. You had Mayor McDermott from Hammond, who was involved in these meetings, quoted as saying it was the dirtiest thing he'd ever seen in politics. That's not what you want to
coming
say.
Coming from a Lake County Democrat.
Yeah. Where is he then?
Can Dan Parker be effective now?
Well, it's going to be difficult and for him to be effective. This was embarrassing all the way around. I mean, his resignation, I think he was ready to step aside, as we talked about last week. He's made that clear. And then to be urged to come back by some people because they didn't want to take over by what they perceived to be Ed Tracy and Marion County running the party is an embarrassment. Then to have your candidate for governor and your candidate for U.S. Senate, their choice, being rejected. You add all that up, and then the vote was 15 to 13 and a half to keep Parker on the job.
Well, it actually was a procedural vote
that resulted in 13 and a half there. Tells you what you need to know. I mean,
right.
They're in complete disarray going into this next campaign. They hold no offices. When asked what he would do differently than Dan Parker, he said, when?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're publicly being pretty brutal to each other in this deal.
But we've got some private feuds here that have bubbled to the surface in a very public way.
Mm-hmm. But they'll all come together. I mean, I thought Joel Miller's comment at the end of this was the right one, that, you know, we've had a squabble, we go on here, and we're together, and we're looking towards November. It was not handled as well as it could have been. There's no question about that. I don't know that there were the votes for the other candidate, because the vote was never taken.
But that was the motivation for Parker withdrawing his resignation,
yeah.
Right?
I think that he thought that there ought to be unanimity, or as close to unanimity as you ever get in those kinds of elections, behind one candidate, and that wasn't there. They were split. And under those circumstances, it was much better for him, for the party's good, and the good of the upcoming campaigns, for him to stay, and he did.
Is he damaged?
No, he's not damaged. He'll do just fine going forward. You watch.
Secretary of State Charlie White failed in his latest attempt to avoid a criminal trial. Judge Steve Nation rejected a White motion this week to drop seven felony counts, including voter fraud charges that could lead to his removal from office. White claimed prosecutors didn't provide grand jurors with evidence that favored him. Democrats are pursuing a separate civil case that could also lead to White's removal. John Schwanes, is White out of options now with regard to avoiding a trial?
Well, pretty much. And by the way, for a holiday show, this sure does a lot of downers. We're just talking about people have screwed up and done alleged misdeeds now for the past 20 minutes.
I don't make the news. I just talk about it.
I know. Maybe something out there was good this week. But he is basically out of weapons. And, in fact, his attorney, Carl Brizzi, said that basically it will come down now to the judgment of the 12 jurors who will hear this case if it goes off.
Actually, he's requested a bench trial, I do believe. So it's I think it's going to be Judge Nation who decides this.
A jury of one, then.
Yeah.
But it's your point is exactly right, that this trial is going to take place, barring something unforeseen, next month. It's not a good situation for him to be
Yeah,
in.
You can't like Charlie White's position right now.
Well, I think that he's clearly on the defensive, as you would expect, and he's tried everything he can procedurally at this point. It will go to trial, and we'll see where the case ends up, but it does not look good for Charlie White at this point.
He's managed to fight this for a year.
This was a Hail Mary. It's what this was. I mean, there was no chance that you could get to whatever the underlying evidence the prosecution presented to the grand jury and say they should have done A or B. If he's got evidence that exonerates him or justifies what he's done, he presents it to the trier of fact. That's what his option is. But that was the only option. So this was just an attempt at delay.
But it suggests that he doesn't want to present it to a trier of fact, right?
Because the problem he's got is the evidence speaks for itself. That's what the problem is.
Any sympathy for Charlie White?
I don't think that the evidence speaks for itself at all. I think the 5-0 vote from the Election Commission tells you that if you look at the law, the way the law is written in Indiana, it's so vague that he probably, you know, is probably not broken the law. And I think that's why they've asked for a bench trial instead of a jury trial, because if the judge looks at that, he's going to decide the way, probably the same way that.
So he didn't do anything wrong, in your opinion.
Look, if he voted in his wife's house and he was living in the basement for most of that time, and she says that's the case, then I don't see that as a big problem for him going forward. I really don't.
I think there are a lot of people watching this case closely. I think that the prosecution thought that they had a case strong enough to chase him off of the case, to make a settlement. Didn't happen, and now there are a lot of people who are watching it worried about the outcome because of what it may mean, whether it means new laws or other people who are looked at in a different light by because of the votes that they've cast.
Well, I definitely think it'll mean new laws eventually.
So that you don't agree with what he did?
I think it'll lead to new laws, but the law is very vague. Evan Bayh made the law vague on residency.
It's not,
in
it's not just the residency. It's also the documents that he filled out for
I'm
different
just telling
things.
You, that's
that,
what it ended
I don't think,
up being.
I think the decision in the Evan Bayh case made the law vague.
Yeah.
I don't think Evan Bayh necessarily
well,
made the law
and
vague.
The decision in that case made
right.
the law vague, clearly.
All right, moving on. Daylight saving time gets some of the credit for a jobs announcement made in the governor's office this week. Jason Brown, the president of Archway Technology Partners, said his software company will add 140 new jobs in Indianapolis by 2015, and he cited the time change as a factor in the decision to remain here. Governor Mitch Daniels pushed daylight saving time through the General Assembly. It took effect in 2006 after a bitter fight.
As a firm based in Indianapolis serving clients mostly on the coast, certainly across the United States, but mostly on the coast, it definitely has an effect. It makes it a lot easier to transact business, and truthfully, there's also a perception when dealing with East and West Coast of what Indiana means to the financial markets, and it certainly helped.
Ann Delaney, is that the final word
on
daylight saving
time? 7 years later, we point to 140 jobs staying. And what happened to the bushels of money that were coming out of the sky? We were going to be inundated with jobs once daylight savings time. Nobody would be unemployed. Remember that? It's the same nonsense they're pushing with right to work. It has nothing to do with one or the other.
140 is better than none, isn't it?
And he was going to stay anyway with the other incentives he was given. So he was nudged saying, daylight savings time.
No, actually, the governor said he was surprised that he brought that up.
Uh-huh.
Governor said he hadn't been asked about daylight saving time in 6 years.
This
okay,
made
great
daylight
staff.
Savings time made a huge difference for hundreds of organizations in Indiana and business in general,
mm-hmm.
and most of them
mm-hmm.
will tell you that, mm-hmm. regardless of what mm-hmm. Ann Delaney says.
I think that he makes a very valid point about the way it's perceived in other parts of the country, and it is important when it comes to the markets or dealing with the coasts. You have to be in a spot, and you have to stick with that spot, and I think that's the benefit right now.
So, but where are the rest of the jobs?
They're here. They're happening every day, except people don't talk about them every
day. Excuse me.
The governor says
the national economy for the fact our job rate's higher than the national average.
The governor says he made 219 economic development deals this year, and that's a record number.
It is.
Yeah, and how many of them resulted in jobs?
It wasn't a record number of jobs.
Yeah. And he did it in a shorter amount of time because there was an hour less in each day to do it. So, I mean, if you factor it out on a week-to-week basis, then...
Is the daylight, other than here, is the daylight saving time debate over?
No. It never will be.
It never
well, what was
will
the question?
Listen, we could move the state.
I like this new approach.
Move the
yes.
state.
No.
One way or the other. We could move it to the other side of Illinois.
Michigan.
I still directly to the north.
Is the daylight saving time debate over?
That's why I think it is. That's why we need to go back to single-class high school basketball.
There you
let's
go.
Get, let's get an issue that we can.
Gene Lysing's right, right?
That's right.
Okay. Finally. The BMV unveiled a redesigned In God We Trust license plate this week. The plates will allow up to 6 larger letters and numbers. The new layout was developed with the help of the state police. They say it should make it easier for law enforcement to read. The other plate you see here was made especially for Sammy Davis, Indiana's only living recipient of the Medal of Honor. Mike McDaniel, it's much harder to read In God We Trust on the new plate. Will it still be a popular choice?
Absolutely. 1.3 million Hoosiers in 2010 picked the In God We Trust plate.
But that's a lot 30, of them didn't know they had a
that's
choice,
30%.
Right? A
lot of, what do you mean they didn't
that's
know
true.
They had a
choice? There were licensed branch workers who were passing it out.
You could either get the blue plate, which is the one, the standard plate, or that one for free,
right.
One or the other for free.
And
the 1.3 million chose that plate. They're in the process of making it so all of these plates are easier to read. The state police had a hand in the redesign of this plate and the other plates, and are doing it for public safety reasons, actually.
Yeah, you think they did this Christmas week on purpose?
You really are in
the
conspiracy.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
Could it be that the new plates start in January, and maybe that's why they did it?
Jim, when you go to the Colts game, do you think they're talking about you in a huddle?
Yes,
he
does.
I do not.
That was the Colts plate, the same thing now as the In God We Trust plate?
Wow.
I mean, they're sort of the same general theme. I don't know.
I'm just upset that you can't play the county game anymore because they've taken the county numbers off of the. Well, I know they're down there in the corner where you can't read.
system. Sticker.
You
get
but
a sticker.
It was a lot more fun. Make those larger if you put your request
in. Yeah, it'd be a lot more fun to play that game.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You can also get an In God We Trust license plate for Christmas. That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwannis of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/podcast, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity. Just go to Hoosier TV and look for Indiana Week in Review under News. I'm Jim Shella of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. Things can go wrong in a thousand different ways. Businesses need a law firm that knows the thousand and first. The team of legal professionals at Ice Miller is committed to helping put the pieces back together. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.